It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We can't predict much about the outcome of the presidential election, but we do know one thing. As of now, the next vice president will be a Midwesterner.
Former President Donald Trump named Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate on the Republican ticket last month. Earlier this week, Vice President Kamala Harris named Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate on the Democratic side.
But do Midwestern candidates actually win over Midwestern voters? And why is our part of the country getting so much attention this election year?
David Schultz is a political scientist and legal studies professor from Hamline University in Minnesota. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
Well, let's start with this news in your own backyard. What was your reaction when Governor Tim Walz was announced as Kamala Harris's running mate?
I would say somewhat surprised a little bit, because if you went by conventional wisdom, you expected a couple of different things. One, you expected her to pick somebody, that is Harris, from one of the critical swing states, such as Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. And at the same time, Harris is noted as a liberal progressive, and Walz's record in Minnesota in the last few years has been a progressive. And people thought she's going to pick more of a centrist like a Kelly from Arizona or a Shapiro from Pennsylvania. So she decided to defy conventional wisdom a little bit and go for somebody who's both liberal and not a swing state, but maybe playing the theme of getting somebody who she hopes will have the personality, the temperament to maybe win over critical Midwest voters, because the gateway to the presidency is really through the Midwest.
On the Republican side, you've got a Ohio senator there. Ohio, well, it's been a swing state in our lifetime, not in the last few elections. That's like Minnesota seems to be pretty locked in presidential races for Democrats. Ohio pretty locked in for Republicans. Any surprise to you there?
Again, a little bit of a surprise, because people thought there was going to be some kind of a balancing there also, too, or again, maybe trying to pick somebody from a swing state. But in the same way that Harris picked Walz to appeal to more, let's say, a progressive wing of the Democratic Party, Trump went with Vance as a way of really sort of aiming for a more conservative base. But again, it's still interesting. Vance versus Walz. Both Midwesterners, but at the same time representing ideologically something very, very different in terms of the Midwest. And that's what's going to be really interesting here, is that they're appealing both to different strains of a really incredibly large region of 12 states that we call the Midwest in the United States.
In the media, maybe we overanalyze things. Are voters really out there saying, well, the number two person on the ticket is from the same part of the country as me? They've just won my vote, right? It's not that simple, is it?
It's not, because we'll start with something really simple here, is that best surveys indicate about 40% of Americans can't name who the sitting vice president is. And it's not just recently, but in the last few years. And since World War II, there's been political science research, including mine, that points out that with the exception of Sarah Palin in 2008, vice presidents really don't matter much. People are voting for presidents, but in an election that's so close. Again, in this election, it could very well be about what 150,000 to 200,000 people do across six states. If maybe just a few people are saying, gosh, the vice president matters, maybe it does. But at the end of the day, I don't think people are going to say, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote for Trump or for Harris, but gosh, Vance or Walz seals the deal for me. Very, very few people are going to fit into that camp.
Let's go to Wisconsin now, where presidential elections are swung by 20,000 votes. I mean, you know, if you went over left-handed bowlers, you could swing the election one way or another, right? Latest poll just out yesterday shows it's 50-49 pro-Trump for registered voters. Flip that around, 50-49% for Kamala Harris for likely voters. Hey, maybe having a winning vice presidential candidate could swing just enough voters here.
It's possible. It's possible, again, because, right, we're talking about the logic of small numbers. But now becomes the question, do we think swing voters, those undecided voters in Wisconsin, let's say you're right, those left-handed bowlers that are out there, will they be making their decision based upon a governor from Minnesota or a senator from Ohio? Again, that's a really good question. You know, as a political scientist, it's an empirical question. Let's go out and talk to those voters, because I don't know how much somebody from Ohio or somebody from Minnesota has appeal or drawing factor to those undecided voters, swing voters in the state of Wisconsin.
Let's talk about what we mean by the Midwest and Midwestern politics. People might think, okay, that's rural farmland. Another person might say, well, that's a Rust Belt factory town. Or people might say, no, it's a big growing university technology area like the Twin Cities or Madison. How do we try to sum up Midwest politics in our analysis of this race?
Well, this is hard because the Census Bureau defines the Midwest as the North Central region, which is 12 states roughly buffered between the Great Plains and the Appalachians. But politically, it's a very, very diverse region, because you're right. Places like Milwaukee, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Minneapolis, St. Paul are very different than places like, let us say, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or Ladysmith, Wisconsin, and so forth like that. And so it is very mixed. But if we look at within the region, what we're finding is each state in the Midwest has different characteristics. But in general, the urban areas seem to be more Democratic as opposed to the rural areas, which are more Republican. So in one sense, as preparing for the show, I went back and did a lot of reading. And I don't want to quite say that what it means to be Midwest is really up for contest. But really, it is up for contest, because we can define it geographically. We can define it somewhat politically. We can define it culturally as the home of rock and roll and Motown. There's all kinds of ways of thinking about what it is. And again, to think one candidate from the Midwest appeals across the entire Midwest, I think is a little naive.
David Schultz is with us, political scientist, legal studies professor from Hamline University in Minnesota, looking at the running mates, the Midwestern running mates in the presidential race, the role of our part of the country in that race. David, you mentioned Eau Claire. Well, what happened in Eau Claire yesterday? Harris and Walz there, also Vance there for dueling rallies. Their planes shared a tarmac for a while. How much do you anticipate us getting attention here in Wisconsin in the next couple few months?
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot of attention in Wisconsin at this point. If we go look back at the last two presidential election cycles, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but Wisconsin went for Trump narrowly in 2016, went for Biden narrowly in 2020. This is a state, as you know, that is really a consummate swing state at this point. It's politically divided. This year, it's going to be fascinating with elections under new redistricting boundaries. It's going to be subject to a lot of campaigning. And again, I'm right next to you. I'm over in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we're actually going to get a lot of campaigning here. And the reason why is that if I'm correct here, there's no major television market, in Western Wisconsin, and in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area where I am, the major television markets penetrate, about 3 hours, into Wisconsin. And so what we're going to see is candidates campaigning Western Wisconsin. Ads are going to appear in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Superior, or Duluth Superior television stations to try to reach that part of Wisconsin that's not well reached by, let us say, either Milwaukee or by Madison.
You wrote a book or co-edited a book called Generational Politics in the United States. Want to get your read on generational changes. Now, we had we have President Joe Biden. He was the oldest person ever running for president until he dropped out of the race. Now the oldest person ever, I believe, if I have this right, is former President Donald Trump. What are you watching for when it comes to how people of younger generations in particular react to this big change?
Well, the change we've already seen in the polling at this point is that young people, which we're going to define as under the age of 30, really have to turn out in large percentages again, like they did in 2020, if Kamala Harris is going to win. And when Biden was still the candidate, at best they were uninspired. Harris, in approximately the last 2 to 3 weeks, has seemed to have motivated them, has motivated people of color, has motivated women, all critical constituencies. But staying with the generational theme, I think what she's going to be setting up here is a clear generational contest in terms of saying that we represent a new generation, a new set of values, views on a whole range of issues about reproductive rights and so forth. And so I really do think if I were going to describe this election, it's how well the two candidates play generational politics within a swing state parameter. And for Harris, if she can motivate the voters, especially in the college towns, including the Eau Claires, obviously UW-Madison, but also in places like River Falls, Superior, et cetera, that's her gateway. If she's going to win, she's got to motivate those people.
I really want to ask you this unique event in American politics, the candidate all but Joe Biden dropping out of this race late in the game. The Marquette Law School survey I mentioned earlier, they asked Wisconsin voters, do you agree Biden was right to drop out of the race? 79% said, yeah, we agree. Democrats, 91% of Democrats.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, what? Talk about that reaction that his own party was like, yes, this is the right call.
Okay. Take us back to 4 years ago. At one point, Biden said something along the lines of that I'm a transitional president. And I think for many people, they thought that Biden would run Harris vice president if he were to win. He's a one-term president, you know, rides off into the sunset, and Harris is the nominee. And I think people were surprised in the Democratic Party that he stayed on, and of course worried after that first presidential debate in terms of his capacity, you know, to be able to run. I've been telling people, I think we are exactly where we thought we were going to be 4 years ago, that many people thought it would be Biden one term, Harris would be the nominee. And guess what? Where are we now? Harris is the nominee. I couldn't tell 4 years ago if it was going to be a Harris-Trump rerun or something like that. But in some sense, I'm not surprised, especially after that disastrous debate for Biden, that Democrats are just relieved. And the polls are suggesting, again, they are motivated to vote now in ways that they were not, let's say 6 weeks ago.
David, thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That's David Schultz, Distinguished Professor of Political Science and Legal Studies at Hamline University, visiting professor at the University of Minnesota. We talked about Midwestern states and their big, big role in the presidential election with two Midwestern running mates on the tickets.